Good evening, everybody. Happy Halloween. Don Tony here. It is October 30th, 2021. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. If you're getting this live, much love as always. If you're checking it out on the replay, thank you as well as always for your support. I tell you, man, I'm not just saying this, but 2 years, well, a little less than 2 years ago, I started this channel. And, you know, realistically, I had a bunch of people like, how many people you think will subscribe? Because it's a known fact that 80 to 85% of my total family, which I like to call everybody out there, still accesses audio only. It's much more convenient, uses a lot less data. Yes, I do video, but I try now to really go out of my way to make sure that if you want to just listen to the show, yeah, you might miss out on the bag and you might miss out on some goofy things like this, but you can always go seek it out later if you want. But with that said, I said, you know, I'd be happy with 5,000-10,000 people in a year, you know, 2 years. And I don't remember if it was Shaheen, but I remember one person saying to me, they said, you're going to get to a point in this channel that once you hit that spot, it's like a sweet spot, that it's, I don't want to call it smooth sailing, but you will start to see a big influx of subscribers. They may not check out every show that you do because I don't expect anybody in their right mind to watch me for 4 or 5 days a week, maybe six in the future. But, you know, there's going to come a time where you're just going to start to see the numbers skyrocket. And I get this vibe that it might be happening very, very soon. So I want to thank you for your support. I will never change. You know, maybe I have to be a little more professional. Maybe I have to tighten up the ship a little bit and keep as much negativity off of the shows as possible. But as far as me with the authenticity and my opinions and just us getting along, that will never change, no matter where I end up. So tonight, if you saw the synopsis of some topics we have scheduled, I think we got some pretty good discussion to have tonight. As you could see, I'm showing a little love tonight to Abaddon. I like Abaddon. Very, 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 I don't know her personally. Comes off as a cool chick. Really felt bad for her yesterday in her match against Britt Baker on Rampage. Was it a great match? No. You had thumbtacks, you had chairs, you had violence. You know, it spices up, it covers up a lot of what it actually is, especially when it's no DQ and you knew that everybody in the camp of Britt Baker was going to be interfering, so we knew what the outcome was going to be. Steve Joseph, thank you for the fiver, the $5 super chat. Why is AEW outselling WWE in Long Island? They're doing the same venue a week from each other. I'm so glad you asked that. I'll be more than happy to answer you. And all of you know on these shows, my answers many times may be quite boring, but is the truth. It is the truth. And I'm going to give you the specific reason. And by the way, a little bit later, we'll talk about Tony Khan, who did an interview and talked about the low ratings on Rampage. And I'm going to give Tony Khan a hell of a lot of credit for being candid and honest as far as what's been going down. Give him props. But to answer Steve's question, I'm going to answer it, and you will come back to me and say, DT, you're 100% right. Boring, but right. Look at the ticket prices from AEW when they advertise their show in that big building, and then look at WWE's prices. If I have a decent card, great wrestlers, you know you're going to get a decent show out of it. And I tell you, you could come in for $10 or $20. And then you look at another event coming in and it's four or five times the price. Does, let me make this clear, does WWE have seats in the boondocks for $20? Yeah, I'm sure they do. But, you know, this is one little cute thing that a lot of people cover up. You might see longer lines on McDonald's drive-thru or White Castle drive-thru than a burger joint. But you also got to come into keep in mind that at White Castle, the burger may cost 99 cents. McDonald's may cost $2.50. The burger joint may cost $13. Am I saying that the White Castle or the McDonald's burger is crap? No. Many times I prefer that over restaurant burgers. But let's be honest here. You have those prices much, much lower. Sure. Especially with the economy, especially with inflation, especially with gas prices now hitting $5 in California, it's $8. You want to buy a steak, it's $60. You want to reschedule something from UPS, it's twice as much as what it used to be before. You want to buy a wrestling shirt in a lot of places, it costs $40 when it used to be $20 to $25. When you go on Amazon and a simple thing like Alka-Seltzer nighttime cold medicine would used to cost $3 a box, is now $8 a box. My fiance has three Yorkies and she buys something called Denimarin. And yes, because of the shortage and everything that I told you about in Los Angeles a couple of months ago, you know, she used to pay $23 a box. Now you'd be lucky if you find a box for $65, $70. So especially with what's going on right now, AEW offers a great lineup and on top of it gives you a better price. Sure, those tickets are going to sell a little bit better than WWE. That's the truth. So anyway, showing some love. But thank you for the question. Very, very good question that I know a lot of people probably don't realize with something like that. And you know these places. Look, how many of you out there yesterday that read reports and the title of the report was SmackDown draws its lowest attendance since returning to live fans? How many of you read that article yesterday? I want to give a shout out to Michael who sent me this. And who sent me this? So I guess with the, you know, I should have done this for Steve. So when we get a generous super chat, yes, I will hit the, I'll hit the button. But when you read an article and you see the words like draws, SmackDown draws its smallest attendance since coming back from COVID, live fans. Now we got a bullshit alert. Here's the truth. The building only sat, it's Mohegan Sun, Pennsylvania. It only seats about 5,000 fans. They set up Mohegan Sun a week after Crown Jewel, did a small venue. It's in November. It's in the middle of Survivor Series. They went to a small venue. We used to laugh at Impact Wrestling. Remember Impact Wrestling when it was still NWA, TNA, or even TNA, and they were booking 10,000-seat buildings, or they would go to baseball stadiums, that infamous photo I showed you once with 7,000 seats and only 150 people showed up. What did everybody used to say at that time? Well, if I was NWA, TNA, or TNA, they should be booking some smaller venues. You know, oh, no shit. Could WWE have sold more tickets if they went to another building? Sure, they probably could. You know, a lot of people seem to forget the fact that we're still in COVID. There's a lot of areas where the employee numbers are still very, very down. You have some areas where people are still collecting unemployment. You have areas where people cannot return back to work unless they show that they're vaccinated. So it's not like WWE or AEW could call up any venue they want and say, hey, yeah, we'd like to book November. Let us know how much it is. No, there's a lot of venues that say, look, right now we can't do it. Right now, you know, it's very, very tight. Right now, you know, our dates are nowhere near where it used to be. So they book a small venue, which is smart, and then Because the venue was 93% full yesterday. 93% full. So when you read those cute little articles.
Bullshit detected. Take precautions.
That's the truth. It may be boring. It may not get headlines. It may not get hits and likes and views. But that is the truth. You always get the truth over here. So, getting back to Avedon, a lot of people were criticizing Avedon big time yesterday in her match against Britt Baker. Now, I'm going to defend her. I'm not saying that this is the sole reason why she likely had some pretty off timing yesterday in that match, but I'm going to just throw this out there from personal experience, okay? Yeah, I didn't do much in-ring-wise with indie wrestling, but I managed events for, 6 years? And during that time, I lost some weight. You see some of the early stuff from 04, 05, 06, and my face looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Then you see maybe like a year, the last year before I stopped, I seem to move around a little bit better. Here's my point. Avedon has lost 40 pounds, 50 pounds. For me, that might be 1/5 or 1/6 of my body from back then. For her, that might be 1/3 of her body. When you are heavier and you train and you wrestle for years, and see, and this is no way criticizing any podcast or any journalist out there that never did anything in the ring, but they really need to understand things sometimes before immediately saying, this sucks, she should be fucking fired, she's fucking awful garbage, she doesn't know how to fucking wrestle, and this and that. I've watched Avedon matches and other feds, and she's actually decent. When you have a character like that, you're not going to be doing Sammy Guevara moves. But here's the thing. When she drops that much weight, to run the ropes, instead of it taking 3 seconds or 4 seconds, it may take 2.5. And we always, when we used to criticize Dana Brooke, what was the thing that we used to say more than anything else? It always seemed like her timing was a little bit off. I remember one time she ran around the post, and I don't know if it was Kairi Sane or somebody was supposed to hit her, and soon as she hits, goes around the post, she's supposed to be clocked. What happens? She goes around the post, that extra second of just waiting to get hit. You see it happen on a lot of AEW Dark matches. Not criticizing those wrestlers, but when you see a wrestler, even the Young Bucks do it all the time. It's just people, you know, let it go. How many times have you seen a match where the one or two of the Young Bucks, for example, are in the middle of the ring and they're about to take an offensive move by an opposing wrestler from the opposing team, and they bend down and they actually stay there for like an extra second before the move is taken? That's because the timing is off. And timing is everything. So when Avedon drops 50 pounds, she's got to relearn all her timing all over again, because you do count. You know, when I used to run the ropes, I used to count how many steps and cadence. And there's a lot of people that do that. Why do you think, if you want to compare it to baseball, why do you think a lot of baseball players will tap their toe before they go to swing? It's timing. And that's the thing that I saw yesterday with Avedon more than anything, that her timing is a little bit off because of the amount of weight that she lost. It's not just, oh, I feel great, my joints don't hurt anymore. No, it's not as simple as that. So I really felt bad at the amount of criticism that she got yesterday. Totally unfair, because it's not simple, oh, she sulks, get rid of her. I think that was a little bit unfair. Again, boring. Not popular, but it's the truth. So anyway, if you see me with a little pen tonight. That's because I definitely have to do timestamps. Tonight is really like one of those shows where I have to start practicing keeping the shows around 90 minutes or less, doing timestamps. Since a lot of my workload behind the scenes is going to be lifted, I can now focus on other areas that I can improve. So, because that announcement, as far as, you know, me joining a network, signing a contract, I think that announcement will be next week. If it's not next week, it's the week after. And I can't freaking wait. It's going to be so much fun, man. In fact, we got to start talking about the idea of doing one extra show that is just call-ins. I love Thursday night show. I loved the calls that came in. Great freaking discussion. I mean, everything that we talked about. But you do realize that, you know, 3-4 calls could sometimes chew up 20, 30, 40 minutes. So to try to keep a show under 90 minutes and you're talking news, answering questions, doing chat, you know, the calls becomes a little difficult. So, you know, the idea of doing a small show on its own with just calls, we just sit back, call a number, and that's it, live calls. That is something that I think by next week or the week after we'll be able to do. So Rams fan says, have someone knock me over the head at the 90-minute mark. Believe me, tonight is going to be a real challenge for me. But you know what? We don't have to get into every little topic. We have an overall of what we want to talk about. Now, I did see One Fall Podcast make this remark a little bit early. And by the way, for anyone out there that is tuning in on Facebook or on Twitter, I put a little note that said, if you comment during the show, you know, post it in that thread. And I was playing around with my software earlier, and it may pop up on the screen. So if any of you out there happen to be tuning in right now, and one of those, even if you just want a shout out, you know, just type something in that thread. I want to see if it pops up on the screen without me doing anything. So, and I did not announce earlier Twitter and Facebook. You know, those live streams are no more. Now they get the YouTube link, but they can hang out on Twitter or Facebook and watch the YouTube link, and they could chat on those outlets. What is Facebook going to be? Meta? Meta? Puta? What? How do you want to talk about that tonight? So, as I was saying, One Fall Podcast was bringing up this banner that I made. And I know some of you already got why I did that, but he questioned if, am I now suddenly expressing the hate for Charlotte? Oh, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The reason why I have that there is because of the news that broke on Thursday. I touched on it very briefly on Thursday, but the more that came in over the weekend, the more we heard that it's true. WWE pulled Charlotte from doing some media interviews to avoid the Mike Johnson gotchas. Even though some media outlets out there are very trustworthy, not everybody, you know, can take a full that, get, you know, just how, look, a pre-interview, look, Becky Lynch backstage stuff, Sonya Deville, you know, the drop in the belt, I don't want to talk about it. We can't talk about it. You'd be surprised how many people would then think, Brandon Foley, Papa Giorgio, hey, how you doing, Brandon? How's married life, my friend? I hope all is well with you, brother. Thank you, Brandon. He is once again a channel member. Much love. I kept your seat warm for real. Shout out to you, brother. But you have journalists out there, oh, no, I won't bring it up. And then they bring it up. Or they don't bring it up, but then they tell everyone, WWE instructed us to not talk about the backstage, to not talk about this, to not talk about that. So what did WWE do? You see what's happening with social media. You know, you see a lot of people wanting to do gotcha, trying to create turmoil that doesn't exist. Am I saying that there's no turmoil with Charlotte? No, I'm not saying that. But people are inflating this and trying to create a narrative that is grossly exaggerated And WWE said, oh, yeah, no problem. Charlotte, you know, at this time, you know, we don't want you to do any interviews. And Charlotte's like, sure, no problem. So that's why the tape is over her mouth, because of what's going on. I mean, how many of you out there saw after Monday, people were bitching that Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode got the title shot against RK-Bro, and people like, oh, why are you giving it to Ziggler and Roode? You got these new tag teams on Raw that were on SmackDown. Why aren't you giving them an opportunity? So what happens 2 days later? People close to Chad Gable are telling Chad Gable to get out of your contract with WWE and go to AEW, where you'll treat it a lot better. People close to Chad Gable are telling him to get out of his contract.
Bullshit level, DEFCON 5.
So good, good. The more these people do that, the more WWE is going to say, nah, no interview. Good, good. Now, let's also remember this. You and I talked about this last week. People didn't catch on right away. Think Nia Jax and Charlotte. Ooh, Nia and Charlotte are shooting on each other. They're so unprofessional, they have a rematch the following week. WWE right now is trying to get those Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart vibes when it comes to Becky Lynch and Charlotte. That's what they're aiming to do. Now, you know who's responsible for doing that? The fans. The fans. They want this rivalry to get so much heat. And, gee, what's the pay-per-view coming up? Survivor Series. Is there going to be a Brooklyn screw job? I have no idea. As we said last week, could Sasha Banks end up being your next women's champion before Survivor Series? Could very well happen. Why did everybody feel shocked yesterday that Sasha Banks is back to pretty much being a babyface? We talked about that 2 weeks ago, that once the draft was completed and done, right after Crown Jewel, that Sasha Banks was going to be the first person to confront Charlotte, and she was going to be back being a babyface. Why did we discuss this 2 weeks ago, and now suddenly everybody acts like they had no idea? So that's what WWE is looking for. They're looking for that buzz. They're looking for fans to start saying, man, Becky and Charlotte, man, this is like the heat between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. You start watching, people start bringing that up. WWE, that's giving them attention. More attention? Let me tell you something. I watched Survivor Series 1997 live, and I could honestly tell you there was so much tension in the air. And even you listen to the early commentary in that match, you know, there was so much unknown. And believe me, I started my wrestling hotline about 3 or 4 months before that Survivor Series. And I could tell you that the heat between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, Meltzer covered it, Wade Keller covered it, a lot of dirt sheets covered it. I covered it too, but I didn't have sources at all at the time. I was just giving opinions based on what everybody else was reporting. It got so much heat, the Sunny Days remark, the back and forth. You hear rumors of the fight backstage, Shawn Michaels getting hair ripped out, walking out of the building. You know, a lot of that stuff was known. The only difference at that time is you didn't have the social media where people are saying, people close to Shawn Michaels are telling him to get out of his WWF contract and go to WCW. The only people that could write that were the dirt sheets, and they didn't write it because it was not true. So WWE is trying to get that vibe back with Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, and I got news here. I think it'll happen. I think you're going to see a lot of people stop making those comparisons, and with Survivor Series coming up, if they end up having that match, oh, there's going to be so much tension in the air. Are these two going to coexist? But again, do not discount the possibility Sasha Banks becoming champion before Survivor Series. That is possible. Bianca Belair, there's always that possibility she could win the championship for Becky Lynch before Survivor Series. Could happen. Don't know if it's going to happen. Me personally, if I was WWE, that match, that's the one you have at Survivor Series. That buzz, what's going to happen between these two? To me, that is... I'm sorry if it sounds awfully loud on the computer. But so that's why I had the tape over the mouth and everything. Now, yesterday, SmackDown, I'll give you the quick results. Raquel Gonzalez wrestled a dark match beating Toni Storm. I don't know if you were all aware of it. The Viking Raiders also had a dark match beating the Creed Brothers of Diamond Mind. We had Charlotte Flair over Shotzi Blackheart. And yes, a lot of people are angry that it seems like WWE is turning Shotzi Blackheart heel. Look, they are so heel-driven in that company. And by having a plethora of heels, the baby faces themselves have to really step up. I don't like the idea of turning Shotzi Blackheart heel. But if she is going to go into a program against Sasha Banks, even for a short period of time, it's a pretty damn good opportunity. And you think about it, Sasha Banks, they want her to feud with Charlotte Flair also. So somebody in this mixed, and they didn't want Shotzi versus Charlotte for the most part, especially now with Shotzi having a little bit of an attitude change because she lost yesterday and Sasha was still at ringside. But let it play out. I mean, there's no question Shotzi Blackheart is over big time as a babyface. But we've had people in the past turn heel and it ends up working out great. And then we've had people turn heel and it was terrible. Let's see what happens. Drew McIntyre over Mustafa Ali. Oh, we talked about this like 2-3 years ago. Please, WWE, don't do a Muhammad Hassan storyline with Mustafa Ali. After all of these years, now Mustafa Ali, he goes on the mic and says, you all treat me the way you do because of my name. I don't know how that's going to work in 2021. If Mustafa Ali was still new on the WWE roster, okay, I'll keep an open mind. Let's see what happens. But after all this time, I don't think it's going to work. And if Mansoor still feuds with him, what is Mansoor going to do? Cut the John Cena promo, and say, you have it all wrong, Mustafa. Everybody loves, we live in a free country, and I am treated with respect from everybody here. He is not the new Muhammad Hassan. I think we're jumping the gun here. It's delusion, which, look, there's a lot of people, and wrestling sometimes reflects society. You all know that by now. But you do have people on social media all the time that'll claim that they're being treated a certain way because they're a woman, or because they're gay, or because they're black, or because they're this, or because they're that. You do have a lot of people that immediately say, oh, I'm being treated this way, or I'm being called out because of this. So, there is an element of society that still feels, and look, on the flip side of that, you do have a lot of dirtbags out there that still will say some pretty horrible stuff to people. I mean, that clip from last week, didn't somebody yell out the N-word to Moose when he won the championship? I mean, I don't care how annoyed you get at Moose's character or his promo or he's a heel or whatever you want to call it. Stole the win from Josh Alexander. But to get that triggered that you think that, your best comeback is to use that, I mean, that's just loony. By the way, big shout out to everybody who's live right now. Much love. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss over Shinsuke and Rick Boogs, little trick or street fight. As we said last week, Kenneth Fallhaber, welcome, my friend, just subscribed. And I want to thank everybody who subscribed in the last week or two. I mean, I know a few of you out there really going out of your way to let others know about the channel, and I do see, you know, numbers coming in, so I appreciate that. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you very much. Last week, I said I have this feeling it's time. It's time. Happy Corbin is getting gold. Do I want to see Happy Corbin, Miserable Corbin, Rich Corbin, Broke Corbin, King Corbin, Queen Corbin? Do I want to see anything Corbin with a title? No. I don't like Corbin. He's improved. I mean, a lot of people still think that they would have rather him try out the babyface run, but they didn't. But I really believe, yeah, this is the time I think Corbin is getting the gold. He will end up beating Nakamura and becoming champion. I really believe that. So, Rams fan, raking in the coffee money might be a little bit of a stretch, but everything helps, man. It helps pay the bills, the expenses. I do, you know, get to enjoy a lot of what you all send in, and I thank you for that. Don't forget, and this has nothing to do with all of your contributions and generous super chats, but photos and stuff that I give away, I take that out of my corporate account, and I use that as a tax write-off at the end of the year. I do not take your super chats that are intended for me and use it to give to other people. I don't do that. But don't forget, Liv Morgan contest for Monday, John Moxley book contest for Monday, Finn Balor contest from, I think, Thursday. I think that's the format. You know the contest. You go check out the other shows. We'll be picking some winners. So, yeah, Rams fan, absolutely, man. Definitely bought me and the wifey a meal. She's inside. I was going to put on a Nitro cologne. By the way, just very quickly, I could put this in the times. Actually, we'll get to Lex Luger in a second. Let me just finish up the matches. Shayna Baszler over Naomi. Sonya Deville, referee, quick count. I don't know, man. I mean, Sonya Deville having this disdain for Naomi, it just feels, you know, Naomi's going to beating Sonya Deville. But, man, just end this already. Just end this. I mean, it just feels like we don't really have any good storyline for any of these. So we'll just do this for 2 months. And it just really feels like it's dragging out. I mean, really dragging out. You know, with AEW, with the lack of real detailed storylines, just because someone is going to face someone on a pay-per-view in 3 or 4 weeks doesn't mean that there's a storyline that goes from point A to point B. You know, announcing great matches, you know, that's fine. You know, but again, the AEW formula is different from the WWE formula. WWE is all storyline driven with everything. Look at Monday. Seth Rollins and Big E. Their rivalry will build. And it's all intended for not Survivor Series, but either the week before or the week after. I would think it's going to be the week before. Because remember, it's Seth Rollins cannot take on Big E at Survivor Series because it's champion versus champion, non-title matches. No, I would not do custody of SmackDown, Sonya versus Naomi, because we want Naomi in the ring. We want Naomi to win some women's championships. Who wants to see Naomi be like a GM for SmackDown? Maybe 10 years from now, when her in-ring career starts winding down, I don't want to see that now. It's not a bad idea. I just don't know what the end game is with this. If the end game is that, you know, Sonya Deville takes on Naomi, Shayna Baszler is barred from ringside. If Sonya doesn't have the match, then that means Mr. McMahon's got to come out and give some ultimatum that if you don't have this match, you are no longer, you know, in your role, whatever that is. By the way, yesterday, Adam Pearce fined Brock Lesnar $1 million. Evil. Evil. So, New Day over the Usos, non-title match, a fun match. But you remember the night of the draft? As soon as we realized that the New Day and the Usos were going to be on the same roster again, it's you go to what you know works. Every year, these two teams end up having matches against each other because it's worked for so many years. Remember, what was that rapper? What did he say? Oh, my man, what was that? I remember when they did the battle rap in the ring. What was the remark that rapper said? I can't remember. I know it's Wale, but what did he say? Oh, it was a name. He kept saying it over and over again. Somebody knows it. Somebody knows it. What was it? Ah, nobody remembers. Yeah, we got brain farts too. I'm going to remember it probably as soon as the show is over later. I'm going to be like, damn, that's what it was. Yeah, I can't remember. Nobody remembers. So that's all good. But yeah, they can't resist. Oh, you know, let's just remember my Morton Downey Jr. comparison, that when Morton Downey Jr. used to have a show in the late 80s, that whenever they didn't have good topics to talk about, they just said, let's do Tuana Brawley tonight. And that would be their fallback. And they did like 12 episodes about Tuana Brawley. We don't have any main event tonight. Let's just somehow do the Usos. And again, the reason why they're doing that too is because Big E is going to end up taking on Roman Reigns. So, thank you, Les Davis. Don DeMarco, Don. I know I can't do it. That's not my Wale impersonation. I should not be impersonating him. So that was your SmackDown recap yesterday. You know, seeing Charlotte cut the promo at the beginning of the show. Joey's Adventures. Welcome, my friend. Thank you for subscribing. Charlotte's promo at the beginning of the show. And Sasha Banks saying that Charlotte only cares about herself. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. You know, she's not holding back the women's division. Who's she holding back? Naomi? No. You know, it's a general statement that sounds good, that sounds powerful. Wow, Sasha, man, you nailed it. Who's she holding back? Look at the ratings. Charlotte Flair is still one of the top ratings during their shows. She's got all the tools. Rat King. What's up, Rat King? Thank you very much for joining the family. Charlotte, whether you like her or not, is the top female. So who's she holding back? You know, it's a cop-out when someone is number two and they feel that they're number two because number one is holding number two back. Tell me who on that roster is being held back because of Charlotte Flair. When she wrestles against Dana Brooke, seriously, I mean, you know, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and others. Yeah, I mean, this is WWE's fault. WWE is the one that says, look, she's got it all. She's the top female in the company, and we're going to push her. That's WWE's fault. And let's also be honest, too. Whether you want to use the Flair name or not, Charlotte Flair is in the greatest shape of her life. And the only way people could try to throw shots at her right now is try to Photoshop a very old picture of Cher on her face to make her look, you know, like, I don't know what. It's pretty funny how people talk about bullying and making fun of people's appearances and this and that. But when it comes to Charlotte, it's okay to superimpose or post the ugliest picture you could find of her as news story. Think I'm kidding? Look up Ringside Fools. Look at their garbage website today. And see what they post. Look at the photo they posted of Charlotte Flair. But bullying. No, so Carlos Cabral, welcome, my friend. Why? Because someone is at the top of their game and you're jealous of them, then it's okay to bully them. It's okay to make fun of them. It's okay to put them down. It's okay to Photoshop them and make them look grotesque because their emotions, their feelings don't matter. You start thinking about it. Like I said, it's not the most popular thing to talk about, but it's facts of facts. You know, how's she holding back the women's division? If Sasha Banks says WWE, you hold them back the women by always bringing Charlotte, that's different. But calling out Charlotte? Unfair, in my opinion. Unfair. And look, the greatest wrestling storylines is when you feel there's a little reality involved. So when Sasha's cutting that promo yesterday, and a lot of people feel that there's some reality to it, you know, it you get more interested in it. They comment about it. They talk about it. They praise it. But at the end of the day, you think Sasha shot on Charlotte yesterday? You think Sasha went into business for herself yesterday on behalf of the women in that company that are being held back? No. Creative told Sasha, Sasha, you know, confront Charlotte and accuse her of holding the women back. Pew. Hook, line, and sinker. You hear any reports today? Sasha Banks went against the script. David Allen, welcome to the family, my friend. Much love. By the way, since we already talked about SmackDown, we can mention this. Thursday night, right before I went off the air, I reminded everyone that it was Freedom Day for Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda. He is now a free agent. His no-compete clause is over. And Wyndham is starting to put a couple little teasers on social media. Now, this is the one that probably got the biggest attention. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here because no one else did. Now, for my friends on audio only, Wyndham wrote a tweet. And the tweet says, now that we have Johnny and Bruce's opinion, I would like to share mine soon. What that means is that that goof website, again, Ringside Fools, okay? And this is why I'm playing devil's advocate. And if this ends up being true, just remember where you heard it. You go on their website, I give you permission. It's okay. You're not doing nothing wrong if you go on Ringside News' website. They talk about how, from a direct source in WWE, that if you had Bray Wyatt on your roster as your employee, you would fire him too. And they, you know, made some derogatory terms towards Bray Wyatt and said that people within the company, you know, felt that way about Bray Wyatt. So this tweet that Wyndham Rotunda wrote is in response to that article. Take note of something that I don't know how many of you did. Nowhere in Ringside News' article did they mention the words Bruce Pritchard or Johnny Ace. Nowhere. So when Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, says that he would like to share his side soon, that might be sarcasm to all of these wrestling news sites that think they have a story. And if you go on Wyndham's tweet right now, if you look at the responses, other than him going to AEW, which is what a lot of people want to see, you have people literally drooling right now. It's like they're begging him, please, please, rip WWE's ass. Please, I can't wait to hear it. Oh, my God, you got to talk about it. Rip these motherfuckers a new asshole. They deserve it. I hate them. This, please, you got to. And something tells me if this guy turns around and it is the opposite or he doesn't say what they think he's going to say. They tried that with Andrade. And other than a little bit of anger about the Charlotte treatment with the, you know, pregnancy story at WrestleMania time, Andrade did an interview at that time and said that one day he would love to go back to WWE. When Aleister Black left and became Malakai, people were drooling. Can't wait to hear him bash WWE. He didn't do anything of the sort. Adam Cole, nothing of the sort. Maybe the way they wanted to use him was a little bit different, but you see a little pattern of people who let Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson, he got booed. He got booed when he showed appreciation for what WWE. You know, there's people out there right now that say Bryan Danielson's AEW career has already surpassed WWE's. Just think of the Yes Movement and think of WrestleMania. And there's like 1,000 people that actually like that comment online. There's people out there that just, it's mindgasm. They will have a mind orgasm when someone that they love in wrestling verbally assaults WWE. Vince McMahon, something else. Look, Moxley in his book. We're giving a couple away this week. Moxley in his book. I already read about 30 pages of it. I don't have the book yet, but I got a preview. And, you know, I got a sample coming to me from the book company also. But in that book, he was creatively frustrated. He was absolutely frustrated. He hated the direction of his character. Totally understandable. You know, WWE is not for everybody. And I don't just mean fans. When Tony Khan feels that they have the best product out there, I truly believe that he believes that. But again, there are a lot of wrestlers who like being performance art, who like to act and, you know, not have to wrestle like Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston did on Rampage. They killed it on Rampage. Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston, if you have not seen that match yet, go out of your way to watch it. I mean, the match itself, the storytelling was beautiful. I've said this when Eddie Kingston was in NWA still. When people started taking notice of Eddie Kingston, they never paid attention to his career 16 years before that, for the most part. They started noticing a little bit in NWA. And I said that I got spoiled watching Eddie Kingston here in the Northeast for 15 years. What everybody is seeing right now with Eddie Kingston, we have been spoiled here in the Northeast and seen it for 15 years. When Bryan Danielson has the lapel lock on Kingston yesterday, and as he's squeezing and Kingston, you know, they trying to, you know, they avoid tapping out, and he's just giving the finger to Danielson, and then slowly he just. Now, I wish, and I'm nitpicking here, I wish the referee would have at least once picked up his arm, because, you know, if Bryan Danielson's shoulders were on the mat, the referee could have counted to three, and Eddie Kingston could have won. But the match was superb yesterday. Bryan Danielson's chest today probably looks like red meat. It's all sore. And there are some wrestlers that love that. It's an adrenaline rush. It is psychological to an extent as well. I am no way comparing me to any of those guys. But when I showed the footage of me getting a bottle broken over my head and getting thumbtacks and chair shots and everything else and getting put through a table, you know, people said, because they never did it, they're like, wow, how did you feel? Puffy89, he was there live, and you could tell they were like, lay it in, don't hold back. He was at Rampage on Wednesday. And yeah, man, that match yesterday, one of my favorite of the year. One of my favorite of the year. But when I took that spot that you all watched, and I had a lot of people that said to me, like, how did it feel? You know, what did that feel like? And I said, I loved it. I loved it. I had a bottle broken over my head. I got chair bashed. I got thumbtacks laid all over a table, and I didn't get slammed through the table. There's a difference when you get slammed onto thumbtacks and you get that immediate jolt, that burn, that sting, and then adrenaline kicks in. I got placed on the table with 500 thumbtacks underneath me. I laid on those thumbtacks for about 15, 20 seconds. And when I heard the crowd buzzing over it for nobody like me, it was awesome. Greatest feeling in the world at that time doing that stuff. So believe me, there are wrestlers that freaking love the physical part of it, that love to get down and dirty in the ring. There's a lot of wrestlers that have been like that, but not everybody is that way. Not everybody is that way. That's why I wish people would stop comparing AEW with WWE. It's two totally different animals. So, but go check out that match if you haven't seen it already. Even if you're not an AEW fan, if you were ever a Bryan Danielson fan, you'll appreciate it. Yesterday, we already talked about Britt Baker beating Abaddon. And we also had Dante Martin over Matt Sydal, which was a fun match as well. That pretty much was Rampage. Now, the big thing coming out of Rampage as well is it looks like it's going to be Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk at Full Gear. Yes, Acme Insta feud, Eddie Kingston's pissed off. He just lost that match. He interrupts CM Punk being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. They get a little bit of argument. So Wednesday, they'll make it official. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston at Full Gear. This card up and down the line. You know, say what you want about some ratings not being the greatest with AEW. You look at this card right now. Do I have it here? I don't have the card in front of me for Full Gear. But it is shaping out, arguably, to be the best card that they have had yet. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Now, as far as... And I, for some reason... I don't have my transcript of what Tony Khan said. Let me see if I could pull it up. He did a really good interview, and I'm going to pull it up. I definitely have it saved, so I want to share it with you. It's definitely worth bringing up. Let me see. I might have it right here. That's not it. Hold on. Let me check. This might be it. That's not it either. Okay. Let me. It'll take me literally a few seconds. Look, you know, I checked out some other people's shows over the weekend, and you know, I see people who are taking some long pauses in between sentences, and this is and that. So, you know, if I take 10 seconds to pull up an article, there's no reason why I can't do that. So let me, yeah, here it is. I got it right here. I got it. Definitely worth talking about. Going to bring it up right now because I got to give Tony Khan credit for this, because I honestly did not expect Tony Khan to say half the things he said. Let me pull this up. Sure, it figures the interview I pull up, they just put one paragraph because they just want the one paragraph that sounds the best. Okay. Okay. Here's another one. With fucking ads on top of it. Oh, this is great. I hate these websites, man. All garbage. Hold on. Let me just put in ratings. I'm sorry. I had it on addressed for all of you. This might be it. Hold on. Let's see if this is it. Nope. I can't believe it. I don't understand why these websites. Okay, I got it. I got it. I think I got it now. Well, again, selective. Wow, I'm really pissed off, man. Let me, you know what? I'll just go on my website and pull it from where I had it. So just give me 1 second. Sorry about this. All right, Rampage. I have it saved on my system over here. Here we go. Shit. I don't understand why people just can't put up the whole transcript. They only put up one paragraph. Let's see. Okay, let's try this one. Nope. Anyway, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I think I found it. Hold on a second. Oh, this is the video transcript. All right, forget it. Let's talk about what I have in front of me. Now, there was a lot more to this interview. It was with the Monaco Streaming Film Festival. If you want to watch the 30-minute interview, it's online, the video of it. I obviously can't play it. I'm not going to take a chance of getting any copyright issues. But during this interview, they talked about Rampage and the ratings being low. And, you know, again, if you remember when Rampage first started, I said many times on these shows that I thought 550 to 750 would be a very fair number for a Friday night from 10 p.m. to midnight. A lot of people out there insisted that it was going to do on average a million five. And these are people that were hoping for that, but weren't realistic about it. So in this interview, Tony Khan says it took AEW Dynamite 2 years to hit number one, and it only took Rampage 2 weeks to do the same. He says that it's a challenge on Friday nights at 10 o'clock to get good viewership. And he feels that, you know, their fan base ultimately is going to follow them. And as long as they keep promoting it, and as long as they keep delivering great matches, ultimately the fans will follow them to Friday nights. Now, they also talked a lot about revenue. And for some reason, all of these websites that I just pulled up all left out the revenue part of it. Now, I don't have that transcript in front of me, but I read it in detail, so I could tell you firsthand. Tony Khan gave credit to WWE for the revenue stream that they bring in. The buy rates, pay-per-view, live attendance, merchandise, everything that they do. Tony Khan reminds everyone that they had to start from scratch, that Vince McMahon is a 40-year-old company, which is true, because Vince McMahon bought the company from his father, what, 1981, 1982? So that's about 40 years. So, you know, they have to start from the ground level up. And Tony Khan acknowledges the success WWE has built over those years. But Tony Khan really believes that they got a good foundation and they just got to keep delivering great episodes and get those fans that are falling out of love with wrestling. And, you know, the viewership will increase. Me, honestly, and I think every single one of you out there would agree with me on this. Whether you are the biggest fans of AEW or the biggest detractors of AEW, there's no question AEW gives us great in-ring wrestling. Yeah, some people may not like the referees. Some people may not like some of the comedy. Some people may not like, you know, lack of enforcing stuff, whatever. Whatever reason. Some people don't like the fact that the women are not being used as much as they should. But I really believe each and every one of you would agree with me on this, that if AEW continued to do what they did now and just added to it really good storylines and not just say, oh, next Friday live, John Silver versus Adam Cole. Yeah, I'm sure the match is going to be great. It's cool that it's live. But week after week after week, you don't see many storylines. CM Punk, 2 weeks before Full Gear, literally has no storyline. What happened to Team Taz? What happened to Ricky Starks? What happened to, you know, he rescues Anthony Green. Oh, thank you so much. So now, okay, we don't have anything. So let's just put him in this awesome match with Eddie Kingston. And that's fine. They're going to tear it up at Full Gear. After it's over, 2 days later, CM Punk will be on the mic like he did with Darby Allin. Now, since Darby Allin is done, who's next? Why did they need to move away from Darby Allin? Yes, he's feuding with MJF. The point is that if they really improve the storyline aspect, you know, Hangman Page for 2 weeks did nothing on TV. Last week, the Elite destroyed Jungle Boy. What does Jungle Boy have to do with Hangman Page right now? Absolutely nothing. Okay, we may get Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy versus the Young Bucks at Full Gear. I'm not saying it's a bad match, but you see, Hangman Page shows up dressed in a marshmallow outfit, you know, and that's supposed to be the continuing of a storyline. If they can get some really deep, look at Miro. Miro, the Redeemer, okay? He lost his championship. Roger Rubio, thank you very much for the $2 super chat. Yes, tomorrow I will definitely enjoy a cup of coffee. Thank you very much. And everyone, if you're enjoying, so my God, you're all hitting the like button already. Awesome, man. And I know Sal, big shout out to you. He's got an Instagram account with like 200,000 subscribers. And I don't know what took you so long, but he let them know about my channel today. And he's like, I want each and every one of you to sign up. Man, if he did that, we would get to 50,000 subscribers already. And then I would talk to my former co-host about doing a reunion show. Maybe it happens next year. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Roger. But, you know, getting back to what I was saying, you know, you look at some of the storylines. If they can just add to it. Like Miro, he loses the championship. And where's the storyline? Cutting a promo every week. My wife wants me to, everybody on notice. Where's the storyline there? You know, to me, the best storyline right now is MJF versus Darby Allin. To me, that's the best storyline of them all. But everybody else, it seems lacking. Now, I know Bischoff, and I don't know who made this. Props to the person that made that. That is pretty damn good, whoever made that. But Bischoff today said that, you know, Nguyen, welcome, my friend. Thank you for subscribing. Bischoff said that he would love to start WCW again tomorrow. He can't because he doesn't own it anymore. But if he did, he'd love to do it and show Tony Khan what true, you know, a war is. Head-to-head competition, this and that. Bischoff has been very critical of Tony Khan lately. Give Tony Khan a little credit that he has pulled back quite a bit about the rating stuff. Unnecessary. And I got news for you. And I think a lot of you will agree. Somebody got into the ear of Tony Khan, and I don't think it was Bischoff. Somebody got into the ear of Tony Khan and said, look, you know, I don't think it's a good idea if you keep, you know, doing what you're doing. It's not necessarily Tony Khan, so to speak, and no, you know, being a character on TV doesn't justify it. It's not Tony Khan, so to speak. It's everybody who then feels that it's okay for them to do it, and you see what people do. The truth is not enough. They have to exaggerate. They have to add to it. They have to do this and do this, do this. Meltzer lately, if you notice, he's actually pulled back a little bit as much with the demos. I'm not saying he doesn't bring it up. He still does. But now people are bringing up old comments where he said something totally different 2 years ago. You know, somebody got in the ear of Tony Khan, somebody very important, and said, look, you know, just keep putting out a good product. Keep, you know, stop poking the bear. WWE's not biting. Now, yesterday, FS1 had two replays of SmackDown right after. Now, if Tony Khan wants Rampage next week to be live, to combat WWE for having a SmackDown replay, possibly on FS1 next week. We don't know yet about next week, but if that happens, let's say 10 p.m. to midnight next week, SmackDown replays on FS1. For anybody that went out, that got home late, or maybe you missed part of it, or you just want to watch it again. Let's say that happens. If Tony Khan's response to that is, all right, we'll go live. Okay. All right. If you go live, but what kind of expenses involved now? You know what I mean? What kind of expense? Now, what are you going to do? Have Rampage live and do tapings for Dark or for Elevation? So you don't want Tony Khan to start dropping a crazy amount of extra money simply to get a little more viewers on a Friday night. I mean, honestly, again, I defended Abaddon earlier for her match with Britt Baker, but that match with Danielson versus Kingston yesterday was worth the entire episode alone. It was an awesome match. You're not going to get much better than that. And the only way you're going to get much better is if there's some good storyline attached to it too. Why do you think so many people want to see Hangman Page beat Kenny Omega for that title? Because this is something that they've been wanting for a very, 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 very long time. Now, with COVID, that was postponed. Then him having a kid, that postponed it a little bit as well. So in the end, it might have been great that it's been postponed. But still, you know, there's been a little bit of a storyline, but it's not consistent week after week after week. So I think if AEW just tightens up and makes the storylines continue on a weekly basis, and good story, you know, not just two people or two teams, you know, feuding, you know, I mean, the America's Top Team stuff is great and everything, but does anybody truly feel that these MMA guys that are with Lambert are going to be around that much after Full Gear? It almost feels like that part of it is going to run its course. Now, in the end, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page's stock has definitely gone up a little bit. You would have thought their stock would have gone up significantly when they threw Darby Allin down the flight of stairs in a stadium. You know? So what happens afterwards? FTR. FTR is getting a title shot against the Lucha Brothers at Full Gear. Take note that the AAA titles are not on the line. It almost makes you think you could almost guarantee what the outcome of the match is going to be. Because if FTR is scheduled to win those belts, then why not put the AAA tag titles on the line to make it winner take all? I think that would make it feel a lot less clear as to who's going to win the match. But as far as I know, the AAA titles are not on the line. So, anyway. So, next Wednesday, we have Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. And the winner of that match goes on to take on Bryan Danielson at Full Gear. A lot of people think that it's going to be Moxley versus Danielson at Full Gear, which you know is going to be an excellent match. It's going to be a brawl. And Moxley with the slow burn on the heel turn, a lot of people are feeling it. Yes, for people asking, I did see Disco Inferno a little bit angry at Moxley for pulling back in the main event department. You know, with family now, I think you got to blame a little of that with AEW as well. You know, I mean, I can't find fault in Moxley, you know, not being in the main event spotlight in AEW if the opportunity is not there. I mean, a lot of people feel the opening of the matches and then him doing the hardcore stuff for GCW and everything. You know, this is. Funny thing is, Moxley might be having more fun now than he has had in probably 5 years. And that's what it comes down to. Adam Cole, I still can't believe that Adam Cole got that much heat on Wednesday for being part of the Ghostbuster stuff. I watched that match back again. Did anybody notice something that happened in that match? I didn't notice it the first time around, but I noticed it the second time around. There was a point where Kenny Omega was in the ring fighting, and Adam Cole lifted his hand for a tag, and Kenny Omega went to tag him and instead tagged one of the Young Bucks. Very, very subtle. You wouldn't have picked up on it unless somebody brought it to your attention or you watched this again the second time around. And I remember Wednesday, and I don't recall anybody bringing that up. You go back and you watch it, a little teasing of a seed planting. So ultimately, a lot of people think that Adam Cole will be feuding with Kenny Omega ultimately. But also remember, people that were getting angry at Adam Cole for doing the Ghostbusters stuff, it's Halloween. You know, he's having some fun. You know, mental health is extremely important. And I know a lot of people will immediately run to mental health, even when it doesn't apply to them, because they know that's an easy way out of a situation. There's no question with that. You know that. But being happy is the most important thing. Being happy, you know, really gets the job done. Being happy, you know, sometimes, you know, gets you a little bit further. You think that if I would have taken a different route 2 years ago and just rip everything and be a total asshole and stick to politics about everything and, you know, just complain. You think I would have been offered an opportunity to be on this network? Then I'm going to go on. No. I every show I do, I try to be, you know, we criticize, no question. Oh, and by the way, I got to show you this. First of all, Petey Williams got an opportunity, a tryout to be a producer the WWE at the SmackDown tapings. Petey Williams is still part of Impact. They allowed him to go to WWE, and WWE may be hiring him as a producer. Jimmy Wang Yang is also back with the WWE as a producer. He used to work for them behind the scenes. So as they get further and further away from COVID, and as things start to get needed, it's not just about money, everybody. WWE let go a lot of people because they just were not needed, you know, with the lack of you know, doing things because of COVID. The further we get away from COVID, the more people will be hired. Might not be the same people rehired that were let go originally, but you will see positions need to be filled. Before I talk about the referees, I got to show you this. Maybe I'm just a little nuts. Ricardo Rodriguez, you all remember him? Alberto Del Rio, whatever. Remember him? He did Spanish commentary for AEW this week. All the reports coming in from people who heard him do the commentary said he did a decent job. I think he's going to be brought back again. Kenneth, about the Ring of Honor situation, go check out, was it Wednesday show, everyone? I think it was Wednesday show. I talked about it for about 40 minutes. The only thing that I want to add about the Ring of Honor stuff, give me a minute and I'll just add something to that. But Ricardo Rodriguez, okay, did commentary. So it looks like they're bringing him back for another week. I don't know if you all agree with me. Here's a picture of Ricardo Rodriguez. I don't care about gaining a little weight. It happens to everybody. But is it just me, friends, especially those in the chat right now, because everybody on replay will see your comments too? Is it just me, or does it look like Ricardo Rodriguez has aged quite a bit? That's a close-up on his face at Dynamite or Rampage, whatever taping he did this week. Is it just me, or does it look like he has aged quite a bit? Do you know how old Ricardo Rodriguez is? It blew me away when I looked it up. Ricardo Rodriguez is only 35 years old. I don't know what it is, but, and I'm not saying this to be a jerk in any way, shape, or form. He looks older than me. And I have entered my 50s. This guy is 35 years old. And if you look at, I could have put other pictures also, but if you look at other pictures of him online, he looks like he's in his 50s. I was blown away. He is 35 years old, Ricardo Rodriguez. So, look, I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy for the guy that he's getting a little bit of work in AEW. Personally, I would have liked to maybe have him be a manager or in some role with Andrade. Why not? Do we need Jose the assistant? And I think that's his actual name. Remember when I used to use Jose or Pedro? I used to use Pedro at all those things. And people like, yo, you're a racist. Why use Pedro? They have Jose the assistant. I would have liked to see Ricardo. Oh, and by the way, Ricardo Rodriguez did do an interview this week. And he said he would love to reunite with Alberto El Patron in AEW. Honestly, for my hardcore AEW supporters out there, do you think after all the allegations with Alberto El Patron, whether it's the woman he was with recently or Paige, do you really think AEW would even dare think about bringing in Alberto? Honestly, I think Hogan coming in and winning the AEW heavyweight title is a better chance than Alberto getting an opportunity in AEW. I do not see that. I mean, I look, Ricardo is being nice about it. I don't blame him for saying that. Ricardo Rodriguez is not a bad guy. Oh, let me make this clear. This guy, everybody that I know that is friendly with him says that he is a good guy. He's a good guy. And he's a little bit disappointed that he didn't get more opportunity in wrestling in the ring that he has not outside of WWE as well. But my honest, I don't want to bring up this guy's name because it's a very sensitive subject to a lot of people. And no, I am not trying to compare one to the other, but I think Jason Rance has a better chance of showing up in AEW under a mask for a dark match with nobody ever knowing who was under the mask than I see Alberto coming in. So, Harris B., what's up, my friend? By the way, shout out to Les, Devin, Dorian, RCWR, Rams fan, Kenneth, Joey, John, Darren, Steve, Lauren, Justin, everybody hanging out tonight. All of you that are on Facebook and Twitter, just lurking a little bit. Much love as always. I thank you. I thank you more than you know. By the way, so we talked about Ricardo. I got to show you this. Because we're almost done, believe it or not. We're at an hour and 17 minutes. And yes, I'm going to stick to right around that 90-minute mark tonight. Because remember, I'll be back here in 2 days with Mish. And, you know, we have an interesting show to happen Monday. You remember this from not too long ago? Remember the Who Dat contest? And we ended up taking this Lex Luger and we opened the head and we took the stuffing out. You remember, because it's supposed to talk, and these things are from 1997, I think, and the batteries were all dead. So this was what was inside it, and they take the little round batteries or whatever. So we were curious to see what this Lex Luger thing said. So I bought the batteries. The batteries are in here. So I'm going to keep it away from the microphone. I'm just going to close it. For some reason, when you close it, it actually, I guess, engages something. So, hold on. There we go. All right, good. There's one side. It's not closing great. Okay, hold on. It's freaking not closing great. I had it closed before. Anyway, it's not closing good. All right. I'm going to let you hear it. Oh, there it goes. Okay, we got two. We got to just get one more. There we go. I got it. We did the surgery. We took it out. I'm going to put it back in the head. We're going to put the stuffing back in. Actually, I don't know if that's a good idea, and you won't be able to hear it. But if you're curious to hear, this is what this freaking thing sounded like from 1997. You ready? I'm going to flick it. You know, you ever flick somebody in the ear and then it turns red and it hurts them for hours? I'm going to flick this. I want you to hear it. Ready? This is what this Lex Luger thing was. Yeah, we'll put it in the left-hand corner. This is what this was back in 1997. It fucking laughs.
I'm Lex Luger.
That's what this fucking thing is. I have not opened up Kevin Nash's yet. I can only imagine what this fucking thing is going to say. This is Kevin Nash. It is not open. I could bang it. The batteries are dead. So I think tomorrow I will open it up with a razor blade. We will change the batteries and we'll see what this schmuck has to say. Yeah, one more time. Where did I do it? Yeah, look. Oh, wait, it's opposite. I reversed it. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
I'm Lex Luger.
I would have been so pissed if I would have got that. Oh, my God. You know it. What? He can't get a shout out? Such disrespect? Of course you could get a shout out, my friend. Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. Thank you. I thank you very much. In fact, a couple of quick shout-outs. Let's take this off the screen. Oh, I got to share something with all of you. You're going to love it in a second. So shout-out to you, Noah. Guardian of Chaos, entertaining as always, appreciates the hustle. He's trying to get all 180 of his subscribers to come over. And Irrelevant, Mr. Irrelevant at his age. Ah, Chaos, man, you know. I can't explain after all these years doing this why people still tune in. I can't explain it. I think that there, even though my audience here on YouTube is a lot smaller because of the audio only aspect, but also, you know, a lot of people, and I meant this when I said on Twitter the other day, that there is a lot of people out there that get enjoyment by just complaining and putting everything down, whether it's through shows or just talking every day. After getting two cancer scares, surgery, my mom on her deathbed, my father on his deathbed, and now the prostate issue, you know, I have come to realize that my most enjoyment is laughing, being happy, and to see everybody else enjoying themselves as well. We could criticize WWE, we could criticize Tony Khan, Ring of Honor, I'm going to add something to what we talked about last week about it. You know, that's not the most popular formula right now. The most popular formula is to just say that WWE killed everything and this, this, and that, and just, you know, it, misery loves company for a lot of people. Me, I like being authentic. I sleep at night when I'm authentic. I don't get caught in lies. Something that I said 20 years ago has not changed 20 years later, because when you're telling the truth, you may forget little tiny aspects over the years, but my story's never changed because it was always true. When you lie, you get caught. So, oh, by the way, the swerve. I got a pen. Okay. This is what I would do. If anybody tune into the show on Thursday, that's what I would do on an envelope. See the swerve? I've been doing that since I was a kid. And that's the swerve that I put on the envelope, written out to me to say that you're so hot, I can't wait to have the guts to meet you one day. Meanwhile, it was me writing it to myself when I was 14 years old. So thank you very much, Chaos. Much love. You know it once again. Thank you very much for the kind words. Oh, I have a surprise for all of you in a moment. Roger, much love to you, my friend. Puffy89. I know we did some shout-outs earlier, but I could do it again. And Steve Joseph, thank you. All right. Remember the Undertaker talking bop bag that we beat up the other day? I still have the box over here.
I'll bury you.
Oof. Oof.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
I'll bury you.
I'll bury you.
Rest in peace.
Come on. Oof. Oof.
I'll bury you.
Oof. Sean Bedard, happy birthday, my friend. Sean is a big Undertaker fan. Sean's like, can I have it? So, Sean, yes, I will box it tomorrow. I will send it out to you. DM me your shipping address. So it's his birthday. It's your birthday. So I'm going to ship that to you out. Now, ha! If you enjoyed what we did to the Goldberg talking one, if you enjoyed what we did to Undertaker, I got a treat for you next week. This guy, Johnny, that is a big supporter of the show, said that he's got something that no one else has, and he wants to give it to me as long as I don't destroy it and I send it back to him. I looked it up. I didn't even know this thing existed. As the years go by with these electronic things, technology improved. See, like this bullshit thing, there's like six phrases in it.
That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit. Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
So there's like a bunch of phrases in here. Lights up, does everything. The super chats. With the technology, with the wrestling stuff, as the years went by, it could hold more and more phrases. Johnny is sending me an NWA TNA talking Samoa Joe. I had no idea this thing existed. It's about this big. You beat it up and it's Samoa Joe. So we will have that next week. We will open it up. He said it's sealed. He gives me permission to open it up. We will unbox it and we will beat up Samoa Joe for a little bit. That will be next week. And Sting with the nappy hair. I didn't want to say the word nappy the other day because I know that got Imus in trouble a long time ago. But somebody is sending me this Sting beanie bag with nappy hair. If you just take Bray Wyatt's dreadlocks, dye it pitch black, and have them grow to almost Bianca Belair length, that's what the hair looks like. I don't, for the life of me, I just cannot picture in 1998 WCW having a meeting with Sting and say, Sting, we want to put this out on the market. I can't just pick. First of all, Sting had short hair. If anything, when his hair started growing long, it was like showed the length. This is nappy dreadlocks like this. I just can't picture him saying, yeah, let's do it. Oh, my God. It is so worth it. It's one of the funny. Look, I still got this. I know we didn't open it yet, but look at this. Look how he looks constipated. This is the gum. What do you mean I got to work with Darby Allin? 2.0? What the hell's 2.0? I'm 59 years old. What do I got to work with 2.0 for? Yeah. He's just angry, constipated. It's shit time, folks. I mean, all this, I tell you, the more Sting stuff that I come across from the 90s with WCW, he's one constipated, pissed off motherfucker. I mean, there's nothing with him smiling. I mean, I know he was the black and white, the painted and everything. I don't expect him with the crow stuff going, ow! But seriously, the more I dig, the angrier he looks. I just can't picture him at that time. He, if anything, he had the neutral voice on his face. One thing's for sure, nothing's for sure. He's one angry motherfucker. Thursday. If I get it by Thursday... Chaos says he's got nappy. Oh, you do not. I honestly thought this was either somebody just decided to have fun with that Sting beanie bag and decided to glue like pieces of a mop to his head and spray paint it black. The hair is bigger than the doll. It's like this. Take Don King and he slept with Bray Wyatt and that's basically what you got with the hair. It's crazy. So anyway, to bring this home, let's see. Okay. We got one final topic left. Referees. WWE is looking for short referees so the wrestlers look taller. Since the 1950s, most wrestling companies hire small referees. So they do not look the same size as professional wrestlers. Professional wrestlers, for the most part, are supposed to be larger than life characters. You had exceptions to the rule. When you had wrestlers who were in the ring wrestling and then retired from in-ring competition, some of those wrestlers went on to become referees. So once in a while, you would see a referee who was 6 foot, 6 foot two, 6 foot three. In ECW, the referees were a little bit bigger than your normal-sized referees because it didn't take away from the wrestlers because the wrestlers were either hardcore or they were lucha libre or they were just a totally different style. The referees were not an important aspect in ECW. So when you hear reports going around this week that WWE is specifically looking for short referees so the wrestlers look taller, that has been the formula in pro wrestling since the 1950s. Good example. I grew up, I became a wrestling fan in 1979. For the first 2 years, I didn't even know what the hell I was looking at. I was too young, but when my mom said I couldn't watch it, that's when I wanted to watch it. But you look at most of those referees, Gilberto Roman, Dave whatever, and Joe... Look at, they all were small. Dick Kroll, a little exception to the rule. Dick Worley, Gilberto Roman, Danny Davis had to pump himself up with special juice to possibly go into the wrestling aspect of it. You look at Little Natch. You look at some of the referees today. You look at the Hepners. You look at a lot of referees. That has been the formula since the 1950s. You have some exceptions when someone is a pretty damn good referee, because on the indie circuit, it you look at all the wrestle crap footage that I show of my stuff, all the referees look small in size. On the indie circuit, it's not so much the formula, because on the indie circuit, you just want a good referee. You can't afford, you know, the pick and choose. Whatever you get, you get. So if you happen to get a referee that's 6 foot tall, you know, that's really, really good at what they do, and they could communicate with the wrestlers, because there's a lot of communication involved that you don't see. You know, I don't want to be too specific here. You know it. Welcome to the family, my friend. Elite channel member. Welcome. Thank you for that, my brother. But, yeah, I'll give you a little something that I really, you know, it's not, you don't ever want to get this detailed, but if you even look at Aubrey Edwards, you look at the referees today, you'll see two wrestlers on the mat. They're not very close to each other on the mat. You'll see the referee go up to one and will really get almost close in their face, almost like, you know, do you give up? And the wrestler will give a message to the referee. The referee then will take that message, next move, whatever it is, she walks over to the other wrestler to act like he or she is checking to see if the wrestler's okay. And that referee will then relay to the other wrestler what the message is. I mean, referee is very, very difficult. That's why I try to give a lot of slack when it comes to some of the Aubrey stuff and other stuff, because their interaction with the wrestlers is very, very, very important, especially when you have someone wrestling someone that doesn't speak English. You'd be surprised how critical that referee can be sometimes. But the thing is, you know, a lot of the bigger promotions, they have more flexibility and can pick and choose who they want to fill that role. And 9 times out of 10, the wrestlers are much smaller in size. And that is a formula that's been going on for 70 years. So when you hear the reports this week that in an effort to make the wrestlers appear taller, WWE is looking for small wrestlers.
Bullshit detected. Take precautions.
Are you sick of this yet? That's not news. That is something that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. You look at some of the greatest referees of even our generation, and you'll see a pattern. A lot of them are quite small in size. Little exception here and there, but for the most part, referee Pee Wee Moore. You know, you go down the list. For every referee that's above 6'2", you have 10 referees that are under 6 foot. Yeah, you know what? You are absolutely right. During COVID, you could actually even hear once in a while the conversations going on. Believe me, it's refereeing is a lot harder than you think. As MJF said in Boston the other day, harder. It's a lot harder. It's very, very hard. So even though some of these referees on TV, they might get under our skin a little bit with, like Aubrey Edwards looks like she's surfing, you know, or she's doing the chipmunk from Caddyshack. You'd be surprised how much she actually does. And believe me, go back. I'll leave you with this. Go back and watch Edge versus Seth Rollins again, Hell in the Cell. Remember that tribute that I showed you last week that Edge gave to Jessica Carr? He brought up 3 different matches that she refereed for Edge. You go back and you look at the Hell in a Cell one specifically. Now, because I brought up what I brought up tonight, you go back and you see how much she communicated with both wrestlers, and you realize how important she was. And remember too, when you're in a building and the building is yelling and into a match and just noise, cheering, it's not easy to hear each other, too. So Jessica Carr, you look at her work in that match, you'll get a newfound appreciation. You know, Ref Aja, too. Aja, that's in NXT. You know, honestly, there's not too many bad referees right now. Some of them, but you take note, you actually look closely. If you focus on the referee, you'll see there's a lot more work involved. And without that person communicating on both sides, you know, that's where you run into problems with matches. So, but anyway, I think that's it, everybody. I think we got into everything. I'm looking at my notes, and we are good. So, we ended up right around 90 minutes, a couple of minutes over, but that's all good. I want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight, and I want to thank everybody for your support. Keep spreading the word. Let everyone know about the channel. You know, as you notice, you know, even my so-called friends, whenever I plug any of my shows, not only do they never repost it, most of them, but even the little teasers and the announcements, you know, over the last 2 weeks, you notice how not some, yes, but you'll see the same people. It's the same thing that's been going on for 2.5 years. The better the news that we have, the better this channel becomes, the more that you and I all have fun. You know, there's some very weird animosity about that. And I will never, ever have animosity for someone who's just having a good time or succeeding or having a great time. You know, I brought up that girl, Denise, like 2 weeks ago. She's now working for another Fed. She's doing commentating this and that. And I had couple of people who do shows send me DMs like, oh, I can't wait to hear you rip this person a new one. And I said, for what? Well, I'm like, no, I don't understand what you mean. You know, that's good. You know, you get opportunity. Why knock on that? You know, I mean, look, there's no question. Like we brought up that Snowden guy. I think it was Cruiserweight that said it Thursday night that this Snowden guy, if you really examine his tweets closely, that's a guy that, you know, it almost feels that right through the computer, Tony, I'd love to work for you, Tony. You know, and he's a blue check mark, so he has the conversations and he rubs the elbows. And you could tell some people who are trying to get a job. And hey, you know, if that what gets them in the door, that's what gets them in the door. That's just not my style. But I hope you all have a great Halloween. Enjoy it. You know, I will not be trick-or-treating tomorrow. I honestly, just so you know, I came this close of dressing up as Deli Man tonight. I had the hat, I had the apron, the mask, all ready to go. And I said, you know what? It's warm in here today. We're going to have a quick show. And I decided against it. But yesterday I wrote this on Twitter. I am very upset. I'm very upset at myself that over the last bunch of years, but then again, I wasn't doing video until last year, really. I mean, last year was the first Halloween that I had ever doing video. So there's no reason for me to dress up for Halloween doing an audio-only show. But I really should have gone as the ECW zombie. My friend Timmy Austin, Timothy Culkins, you knew him as the ECW zombie in WWE. He did a hotline with me for 3 years, and he was a close friend of mine. He died. And, you know, I should have realized sooner. Pay tribute to your friend, man. So next year, Halloween 2022, be prepared, be warned. Yours truly. Not only is going to go as the ECW zombie, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to try to look as identical to him as possible. I'm not going to just wing it. So that's going to be a tribute to my friend. So, guys, gals, it's been great as always. I hope you enjoyed the show. Sorry that it feels like that I'm ending, you know, sooner than usual. But, you know, we got to get used to it. And I got news for you. I have a feeling deep down inside these shorter, tighter shows, you know, in the end is going to be a lot more enjoyable for everyone out there. Because, again, it's very wrong for me to expect all of you to tune into every minute of everything that I do here. You have your lives, you have your personal lives, you have other shows that you enjoy as well. So if I'm going to have that much exposure out there, I think tightening them up would make it a little bit more enjoyable for everybody out there. But I will tell you that I'm going to start looking into doing a small show that just features telephone calls. I don't know what day of the week we're going to do it yet. I will guarantee you it'll be earlier in the day, but we are going to do a separate show that is just calls. It doesn't have to be a specific set time every time. We could always record it in advance and I could just upload the video. But I know a lot of you out there love to call in. Some of you have been trying to call in and never got through. So I want to test it and do a particular show that just calls. And we'll try it out. If it sucks, then we don't keep doing it. If it works out great, then that'll be the next little thing that we do on the shows here. So, yeah, Austin, I agree. Some of the calls go way too long. You know, I ask, you know, please keep it to the point. And, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful and cut somebody off. But, you know, I'll probably have to put a time limit on it. Or once they ask the question, you know, I'll disconnect the call and then answer it. But, you know, but doing a separate show that is just calls, you know, it allows us to get a little bit, you know, more detailed with it. It's not easy when you're just trying to make it like a small portion of a show and then 3-4 calls go by and there goes an hour. It's not fair to everybody else who's trying to call in, but yeah, we'll work on that. The good thing about this channel is, you know, we can play around with things, you know, try little things, test it out, work on this. If this doesn't work, we try this. This doesn't work, we try this. It's trial and error. I'd rather try it and it fail than not try it at all. So, yeah, 3 minutes, I think, is very fair, Michael. Limit it to 3 minutes. I mean, I don't want to put a timer on the screen, but that may end up being necessary. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So, no, we can't do it on Monday, Lauren, because Monday, you know, we have the show. It starts at 11 o'clock as it is. You know, Mish and I, we talk about the weekend of news. We talk about Raw, anything that's transpiring later on in the week. And, you know, I can't go to 1-2 o'clock in the morning. So, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Might do an afternoon show. Might do early evening. I'm going to work on it. I will definitely be posting in a community section a couple of ideas. And we'll figure it out. So, all right, everybody. Much love as always. Have a great weekend. Post your comments, your feedback. Don't forget the other contest this week, because Monday we'll be picking some winners. I think we did a contest on Wednesday. I don't remember, but we have some winners to pick this week. So check out those episodes and, you know, you'll see how to play. It's pretty easy. But all right, everybody, good night. And I'll see you on Monday after Raw, 11:05 p.m. Eastern. So ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.